The first installment. It is interesting to see that we as human beings have a tendency to think the worst of people. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We judge each other quick. Amen. We see somebody doing something they should be, we just assume that they purposely wanted to be in that position. Like when you see a homeless person, you say they should get up and get a job. Well, you don't know what they've been through. You don't know if they had a job and lost it. You don't know if they lost a family member or a friend and couldn't deal with the grief that goes along with it. So I don't believe that anybody just wakes up and says, I want to be homeless.
Amen.
I don't think anybody wakes up and says, I want to be a crackhead. I don't think anybody wakes up saying, I want to be an alcoholic. I just don't think anybody wakes up and says, I just want the worst of life.
Amen. Amen. Say it.
And so what happens is that we don't take them at their word anymore. And in some cases, it is justified. Yeah. There are some people you can't listen to. There are some people that you know, boy, you talking out the side of your neck. There are some people that you just cannot give way to because you know that their word does not mean nothing. But for the believer of Jesus Christ, we should not have to make an oath to be believable and trustworthy. In other words, what I'm saying is, a saint shouldn't go around saying, I put that on my mama. Uh-huh.
That's right. Come on, Pastor.
Y'all ain't saying nothing back to me.
A saint should not go around saying, I swear to God.
That's right.
That's right. You know, we have a tendency to do that. Yeah. Swear to God. If you don't leave me alone, I'm going to knock. You know, we got a tendency to use God's name in an oath that we shouldn't be doing.
That's right. Yes.
Now, this is what is happening to Paul. Paul says in the letter, I was going to come to you. If you look at the scripture, 16 and 17, I was going to come to you. But I chose not to. But he doesn't say why. Right there.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't explain why he's not coming. Now, what happens is the people at the church of Corinth got an attitude.
That's right.
And they said, well, if he said, if he's that wishy-washy, was saying that he was going to come to see us, and don't come to see us. Then how can we trust what he says to be true? This is happening in the church. Oh, this ain't happening in the street. This here is happening in the church. You got folk in the church wondering, well, if he don't show up to this, how can we believe what he says over the pulpit? How can we believe in the word that he's teaching us about this Jesus? There must be a problem. We got a problematic situation. How can we believe this man who says that he's of God but can't show up to come see us? Paul's interesting response is this. First he says, I want to bring you double favor. But I didn't. Then he says in verse 17, he says, was I indecisive? Was I speaking out the side of my neck? Do I do this the same way that you all do? Do I do this the same way that regular human beings do that don't have God in their life? Was I saying yes and no at the same time? Did I make an oath to you?
All right.
Now let me explain to you what an oath is. An oath is a confirmation of a statement or promise. So when Paul says, I was ready to say yes, yes, and no, no, he was saying, should I have made an oath to you?
Yeah.
Should I have made a promise to you? Well, the double particles, the no, no, and the yes, yes, goes back to Jesus teaching on oaths in Matthew 5, 33 through 37. It says, again, you have heard that it was said of those, to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is his city of the great king, nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair black or white. But let your yes be yes, and let your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. What he was saying is, don't make an oath. My yes should be good enough. Some of y'all making promises you can't keep. Oh my God. I'll be there. I'll promise. I'll have the money for you. Stop making promises you can't keep. To stop the abuse of real oaths and substitute oaths. Uh-oh. Some of y'all making substitute oaths. Jesus rejected swearing oaths altogether. Oaths, according to Jesus, diminish the demand for absolute truthfulness at all times. In other words, when you try to make an oath and you don't mean it, you're lying. Jesus said, I'd rather you just be truthful. If you toe up, say I'm toe up. If you mess up, say I'm messed up. But don't make an oath and say, yeah, I promise I'll be good. Because then you're lying. Because if you're not saved and sanctified and full of the Holy Ghost, what's in you is going to come out of you. So don't make an oath to me about your behavior.
Come on now.
The doubling of words intensifies. Listen, 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 listen. Then when you read that, he says yes, yes, and no, no. It simply intensifies the yes and the no. He said yes, yes means like yes. That's what he said. That's what that means. No, no is like no. That's what that means. It's like it's real. He's saying no, no, no. I really mean no, and I really mean yes. All right. So it's really this emphasis on the word. That's why he says yes, yes, and no, no. But then, why not make an oath? Why are we not supposed to make a promise? Listen to me very carefully. Jesus just said it. Because your oath belongs to God. You should not give to somebody else what belongs to the Lord. Some of you are giving to other people what belongs to God. When you say, I promise, you should be saying, I promise, Lord, to serve you. Instead of promising to other people, you should just say yes or no. But your oath belongs to God. So when you go against you giving up an oath that goes to the people, you are violating the relationship that you have with God, because you should only be making promises to God, not to other people. Verse 19 said, Paul goes on to say that Jesus Christ is not a yes or no Christ. He is not indecisive. Let me stop right here for a minute. I'm so glad Christ was not indecisive. I'm so glad that he decided to get up on the cross. I'm so glad that he finished the course, because he says over in John, it is finished. That sort of let us know that God is real, and whatever he said he's going to do, he is going to do it. That's why I can stand here today, because I'm saved and I'm sanctified and I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and God has done something for me, and I got a right to praise and magnify his name. Why? Because he finished it. He is not indecisive. If he was indecisive, none of us would be in this church. But we serve a God who said,
hands, that I will complete it to the end, that I will bless you the way that I said I was going to bless you. I will keep you the way I said I was going to keep you. I will make ways the way I said I was going to make ways. I'm going to heal your body the way I said I was going to heal. In him is always yes.
Yes, Lord.
Everything he said he would do, he has done.
Yes.
Oh, wait, hold on a minute.
Yes.
Let me put it in park for a minute. Wait a minute. Did you save my child?
Yes.
Did you save me?
Yes.
Did you heal my wife?
Yes.
You bless my kids?
Yes.
You give me the desires of my heart?
Yes.
You make ways out of no ways?
Yes.
You put food on the table?
Yes.
Money in my bank account?
Yes.
You make sure I got money?
Yes.
You keep me with a job?
Yes.
You healing my body?
Yes.
You bringing me through?
Yes.
You giving me everything?
Yes.
You give me new life?
Yeah.
You making sure?
Yeah.
That I'm blessed?
Yeah.
Touch me?
Yeah.
Amen. From the top of my head?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To the soles of my feet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Be good to me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Save my soul?
Yeah.
I got a reason to praise you?
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Everything he said he was going to do, he has already done. And if you have not experienced yet, tell your neighbor it's on the way. God said he would do it. You got to release your faith and believe that God is going to fulfill everything that he said. He's going to do. That's why you got to praise him in advance. You can't fall short of worshiping God because he said he's going to absolutely do it. I don't know. Ask your name. Has he done everything he asked?
Yes.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Too much.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And so when I think about when I'm thinking about the scripture and I'm reading it, I'm understanding that what he's saying is that God is not a man.
That's right.
That he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said it and will he not do it? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? I don't care where you are at in your life. If you're in a place that you shouldn't be in, all you got to do is say yes, Lord, to his will and to his way. And when he speaks a word over you, he will make the crooked straight. He will bring you back to where you should be. Because we serve a God that cannot fail. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I say that he cannot fail, he has never lost a soul that he didn't intend to bring out of something. He has never lost a case. He is a lawyer in a courtroom. He is a doctor in a heart room. Whatever you need God to be, he is absolutely it. He is my way maker. He is my wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is everything I need him to be. He is my high tower. He is everything. All I got to do is trust in him and act on what he tells me to act on. Say what he tells me to say. Behave the way he tells me to behave. And he will bring it to pass. I don't know what some of y'all are waiting on.
You
ought to be praising God right now. But some of y'all, you didn't even say yes to him, he said yes to you. You were saying, no, I ain't ready. He said, yes, I'll save your life. Giving God praise right now. Because he said yes to you when you weren't even thinking about him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you read the words between verses 19 and 20, the actual words, in him was, that actually means that it has already been accomplished.
Yeah. Amen.
In him was life. That means life has already been given. What I'm telling you is that he has already accomplished what he said he's going to accomplish. All you have to do is step into the manifestation of what he has already accomplished in your life. What you're waiting on, he has already established what he said he's going to accomplish in you. All you have to do is step into the manifestation of what he said is possible in your life. And when you don't have faith, you can't step into it. But when you say, yes, Lord, I'm going to get to this in a minute, but when you say amen, you agree with the character, y'all ain't saying that back to me, you agree with the character of God that says he's going to have something for you. And when you say amen, what you're saying is, I agree with you that what you have for me is for me, and I'm going to step into it. So that when I say amen, to what Jesus does in my life, I'm giving credit and glory to the Father above. So when I say amen, amen means it's already coming to pass. It's already.